miracles, and, you know, and pain left. And, gosh, I can't even remember everything, so no use me trying. I have that problem. That's a challenge for me sometimes to remember everything that goes on in the service, but I'm sure Pastor Shelley could tell you later. You have anything to say tonight? Not yet, huh? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Tell you what. Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Hallelujah. If you can get through tonight, you'll be okay. Maybe a little rough tonight, but if you can get through tonight, you'll be okay, and you'll really enjoy tomorrow night. So I say things like that to get you back. No, not really. I really mean it. If you can get through tonight, you'll really be blessed tomorrow night. But we're just going to lay foundation tonight. Sometimes, you know, to put in a foundation for a building, you have to dig. Sometimes in rock. Where I come from, you have to dig in rock. You know, and if maybe hard ground. But you have to dig the footing, lay the foundation before you pour the slab or put in a wooden floor. Let's say pour a slab. You have to dig the foundation. So that's usually the slowest, roughest part. Well, it used to be. Nowadays, it's a little bit faster. You know, but we're going to lay the foundation tonight. I want to talk about, first of all, about the elections. My first thought was I wasn't going to say anything. And kind of one of them deals where you think you're going to do something, and he kind of, I won't say trips you up, but sort of says, come back. Maybe I want to say something. I've committed my life more than ever now, than ever before, to trying my everything that's within me to be obedient to Him and to follow Him and to follow His vision. Not mine. Not mine for this church. Not mine for any other church. Not my vision for this ministry. But His vision. Hey, you probably haven't got it yet. But you'll get a letter in a few days and it'll look a little bit familiar. Because it talks somewhat about fulfilling His vision. And that's what we want to do. We want to do our part in His vision. And so, I was just going to go ahead and let it go because rather than listen to what was around me and hearing the things that were around me, I decided I'm going to turn it all over to God. And that's true. That's correct. But we have a place in these elections that we have to follow. I'm going to use the microphone a little bit. Which one? Where it'll be a little bit clearer on my message tape, on my message. We have a part in these elections. You have a duty. As a believer, you have a duty. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I can't do that. But I can tell you this. You have a duty to vote for the most righteous. If you have one person that you don't really care that much about, but yet he's more righteous, or he or she's more righteous than the other one, or seems to be. It doesn't matter what your pocketbook is saying. You have a duty to vote for the most righteous. If you've got a person that believes in partial birth abortions and believes in killing babies after they're out of the womb because it was a botched abortion, you don't need no preacher or anybody else to tell you that's unrighteous.
Amen.
That's not right. There's not even a little bit right about it. So you have a right as a believer, you have a duty as a believer, to vote for the most righteous. Now he spoke something else to me on the way up here. He said, I would rather that if they can't find it in their heart to vote for the most righteous, I would rather that they stay at home and not vote rather than have blood on their hands before the throne room.
Amen.
Now you think about that just a little bit. You have a duty as a Christian, as a believer, to be a part of these elections. And your biggest duty, see, God, how many of you know that God doesn't get his way all the time? Do you know God doesn't get his way all the time? The only time he gets his way is when the saints pray, and pray to the extent that they can pave the way for his will to be done in this earth. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, God's going to get his way and it'll be okay regardless of how the elections go. That's not correct. You have a duty, an obligation as a believer to pray for these elections. You have a duty and an obligation to pray for the leadership of the country, that God will get his way in every part of it. And the only way he's going to get his way is when the saints pray. That's the way he set it up. That's the way it is. It's the same way on everything else. You want healed? You have to have the faith in order to get healed. Well, the only way you're going to have that faith is if you spend time praying and standing before God that you can get rid of the doubt and unbelief and be consumed with faith in God that you might receive what he has for you. Whether it be healing or finances or whatever. It's the same way concerning these elections and concerning the leadership of the country. I was amazed. Surprised and amazed to find out in Canada the Christians there are more concerned with our elections than we are. They are really concerned. I said, why? Why are you so concerned? This one young man came up to me. He said, what is happening down there? I said, you know, we went on, I won't give you the whole conversation, but I said, why are you so concerned? He said, whatever happens there, happens here. He said, we are concerned. You have an obligation and a duty as a Christian to get on your knees and pray for these elections. And if you don't feel you can pray for the most righteous, I tell you this ahead of time. Don't get the blood of innocence on your hands and plan on standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. I delivered what I was supposed to deliver about the elections. Now I can go on. That was more than what I intended to begin with. That's what he wanted. So you can take it to heart, you can pass it on to other believers that are headed the wrong way or seemingly not caring. But I would not be caught standing before the Lord in that day of judgment with blood on my hands because I took to voting for some unrighteous person that believed in murdering of young children. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I feel better already. My goodness. Glory be to God. You know, we've been here for 10 years laying the foundation. Before Cindy and David came in the picture here, Beth filled in for a while, laid the foundation, just like they've been laying the foundation. Before Beth took our spot for a little while, Shelley and I were here, laying the foundation. We've been here a total, between all of us, 10 years. 10 years. Next month? December? Yeah. Okay, wait. Let me back up.
July.
10 years in July was the first trip that I made here. But let's just say for all practical purposes in December. So I couldn't figure out why he was bringing that up, and it'll be 10 years in December. I probably won't be here in December, so we'll just go ahead and address it now. So we've been here 10 years laying this foundation, and here's what I find. We've been here 10 years preaching and teaching about the power of prayer. We've been here for 10 years preaching and teaching about the power of meditating the Word of God. We've been here 10 years preaching and teaching about the effects of fasting. We've been here 10 years preaching and teaching about the power of worship. But yet I find that some are not praying. Yet I find many won't lift their hands in worship. Yet I find many never spend one day of fasting throughout the entire year. You know how I can tell? I don't even live here. I can tell by your actions. I can tell by what you say. I can tell by what you do. I can tell by whether you're walking in the same place you were the time before, or the time before that, or a year ago, or whatever. It's evident. See, if you follow Jesus, and you do the things that Jesus does, you become more and more and more like Him. You may not be like Him overnight. We understand that. None of us are. But you become more and more like Him the more you follow Him. And the Word of God says this, that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And Jesus came as the manifested Word of God. So the only way you're going to become like Jesus and do what Jesus does is do what the Word says.
Amen.
And for 10 years, we've been laying this foundation with these keys of prayer, meditation, worship, fasting, confession of the Word. We've been laying this foundation, yet some are not praying. The basic foundation key of this whole thing is prayer.
Yeah.
And yet, people are not praying. You will never change or never have a different life unless you begin to pray. You're never going to change unless you apply these other keys of meditating the Word and worship, fasting, confession. You're never going to make a change in your life, in your family, in your finances, in your body. You're never going to make that change unless you begin to apply and walk out these keys. 10 years. You know what you got before you? Right now is a good time to start. Some of you are getting this close to waiting till it's too late. You get to heaven, you know, you're going to be saved. I'm not out to make you feel unsaved. I want you walking in everything that God has for you. But you're going to get to heaven, and you're going to say, my goodness, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I know of friends that walked with God very strongly that are in heaven right now. And I know that when they got there, they would have given anything they could have to come back and walk even farther into God than they ever walked before. That's how joyous, that's how rewarding it is. See, people still don't understand. You get before God. Everything that you've done, right or wrong, here on earth, is going to be revealed. And you're going to answer to. If you've done what God, all of your reward, everything is all based on obedience. What do you think prayer is? You're obedient when you pray. You're obedient when you worship God. Now we do it for different reasons. We pray in order to get closer to God. We worship to get closer to God. We fast to put the flesh down. Why? That we can get closer to God and walk in more obedience. It's all tied together, but it all comes back to obedience. All of your fruit in heaven, laid up to your account, is going to surround one thing. Obedience. 10 years. 10 years we've laid this foundation. I'm just going to be honest with you. If I know when somebody's lying to me, I already know when they're lying to me. If they're not praying and they tell me they are, I know where they are or they aren't. I just be honest with you, I don't have time for anybody that don't pray. I don't have time for anybody that doesn't want anything to do with God. I love to get people saved, but my heart is to go farther into God with them. I'm not satisfied with salvation. You might be, and that's great because that's where it starts. And we want everybody saved, but we want everybody going farther into God than they've ever gone before. Not just stopping with salvation, but to continue forward. And you can't do it without applying things in the Word of God. I had notes, but I don't know where I'm at in them. I know I followed them. I know I followed them. I'm just not like Pastor Shelley. She has 9 pages of notes, and she follows them. I have one side of a little piece of paper and another side, and I'm lost. You might as well accept something. If you don't have time to pray, it's because the devil is controlling your life. If you don't have time to get close to God and spend time with Him, it's because the devil is controlling your life. One way, one form or the other, if you don't have time to pray, he's controlling your life. You say, well, I just don't have time, you know, and then there's my job, and then you don't understand my wife, she's demanding. You don't understand my husband, he's knot-headed. You just don't understand. Oh, yeah, I understand. The devil is controlling what direction you take here on earth. He might be using your wife, or he might be using your husband, or he might be using your job, but he's still controlling your life. I don't have time to pray. Like I've always said, you don't have time not to. I've heard all kinds of excuses. But it don't matter how many excuses you come up with. You know, I've heard them say, well, you know, you just don't teach what I want to hear. No, I probably don't. And I probably won't next year when you come back around. Make that trip around the mountain, I'll still be preaching the same thing that you didn't want to hear. Ten years. Now, I know some of you have made great advances. I know some of you are praying 5 minutes more than you were a year ago. I understand that. Listen. It's time for the excuses to be over. And if you're in a certain place in your life, the only way you're going to get out of that place that you're in and go farther is begin to apply this thing called the Bible to your life and begin to use it as a mirror and see if that figure, that image in front of you is lining up with the mirror. Now, there was a lot of others that this message was meant for that are not here tonight. I understand that. And I understand that you probably feel like you're doing your best. There's not an exception in this room except those that are under the age of accountability. There's not an exception in this room. Every person in this room. You say, well, you don't understand, I've been praying 2 hours a day, then you need to be praying four. Because apparently you haven't quite got to where you were supposed to be. And I speak to myself as much as anybody else. There's no exceptions in this room tonight. 10 years of foundation, and this is where we are. Are you proud, Brother Charles? Not one bit. I'm sorry. I don't know where I failed you at. I don't know exactly where it's at. I'm going to find out, but I know that I'm not very proud of how far we have come in 10 years. Hallelujah. I told you, if you could get through tonight, tomorrow night would be wonderful. Actually, tonight's good. If you really want to look at it close, tonight's good. Hey, if I hadn't have said this tonight, he'd have sent some other loudmouth preacher in your midst saying the same thing. It's just a matter of time. See? Just a matter of time. Because if God has something He wants said, He's going to find somebody obedient. It doesn't matter what donkey it is. He's going to find one that's obedient to deliver it. just thank Him for that opportunity to be a part of His vision in the body of Christ. I thank Him for that opportunity to be a part of the vision for Ulysses. I thank Him for that opportunity to be a part of the vision for this church, to be a part of tonight. Hallelujah. His vision. What He has. Glory be to God. I don't know, you're awful quiet tonight. Maybe you're pondering. I hope you're not feeling condemned, because it sure wasn't meant for that. But whatever I can do to needle you out of where you're at, another step forward, I'm going to do it. As He leads, of course. Turn with me. Luke 14. I bet you thought I wasn't going to use the Word of God tonight. I got news for you. I've been using it ever since I got up there tonight. I just didn't quote any scripture to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Luke chapter 14. I thank God for people that have stuck with us all the way through. Some of you have been here a long time. You just need to do more for your life. I just thank God for people like Beth, people like Marge. I mean, Marge, she stayed when all of her friends were leaving and trying to get her to leave, and she stuck it out. Said, no, there's something to this. I'm going to find out what it is. That's basically what she was saying when she stayed. There's something to this, and I want to find out what it is. Hallelujah. And Pastor Cindy and David, they've been with me. You know, I forgot what year they started with us. I think the others all left. March of 98, the beginning of that year. You know, others that were with us at that time, they're all gone. They're still here on earth. They just ain't around me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Starting in verse 25, glory be to God. I know you got things that you think's getting in your way. I know you think you've got excuses that are stopping you from growing in God and going farther in God. This is what the Word says. Now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and He said to them, they were following Him. They were going with Him. They were following Him. I just see them in a line, all going, following where He was going. This is what He said. He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life. And his own life. If he doesn't hate his own life. If he doesn't hate his own life. If he doesn't hate his mother and father, his brother and sister, if he don't hate them, he cannot be My disciple. All he was saying here, I mean, this is simple. This is not complicated. All he was saying here was this. If you can't put Me first, you can't be My disciplined follower. You can't be My disciple. It didn't mean that He wanted you to hate in the way you think hate means your mother and your father. In fact, the Word says to honor your mother and father. How can it be both? Well, that wasn't what the type He was talking about. He was talking about getting your priorities right. Who comes first?
Amen.
He's a jealous guy. He comes first.
Amen.
See, if the Word, without going through all of this, the Word says this, that the only way you're going to be able to love your father and mother, your brother and your sister, is that you love Him first. If you love Him first and follow Him and do the things that He has called you as believers to do, He's going to supply what it takes to love and to take care of father and mother and brother and sister. All of it will be supplied because of where you're walking at.
Amen.
You'll be able to get them in their healing where they need to be. You'll be able to get them free of the drugs or alcohol or whatever else it is. You'll be able to help them heal their marriage if you follow Him first. See, you do those things. You do those things that He's called you to do first. The rest of it just falls in place. Let's go on here. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see that he didn't finish it, that he laid the foundation but it sat there. I mean, I've seen